Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Same Old Wombles. This is season two, episode nine, I think. I'm your locum host, Matt Cooper, and today I am joined by Adam Proctor, Mor Frere, Niall Cooper, and a special guest, Kaz, super Womble fan and host of the Heavy Wreck Show on East London Radio, amongst other podcasts. Am I right, Kaz? You do other things.
Yes, I've got the Heavy Rock Show on Friday nights from 8 to 10, and it's mostly unsigned bands, but also some bigger names, but a lot of rock and metal, metalcore, that kind of thing. And then I have a 1 hour show on Emerging Rock Bands Radio called Rock Radar, which airs every other Thursday. And then I do the morning show on Saturday mornings with East London Radio, and that's just sort of like a it's just like a typical morning show, goofy stuff, banter, bit of music here and there. It's fun.
So basically, we have a professional radio host on this show
I don't know
to
about that.
take down what we're doing. So, we're at a certain standard, Kaz. Don't knock us for it, all right? Hey, listen, we are thrilled that you're here. Thank you so much.
I'm honored.
Today, we're going to chat through some Don's business. We want to get through it quickly, and then we're going to talk about football because football is just amazing. And if we get some time at the end, we're just going to ask people to pick their combined counties league five-a-side team. It's all exciting stuff. We cannot ignore, and looking on social media and such like, there's been a lot of call for it. So we cannot ignore what's been going on with Danny Macklin, but we don't want to talk too much about it. Mainly because there are people out there who are ready to trawl through social media and podcasts and make personal attacks. But the whole thing just feels a bit grubby. I will say this personally, I feel a bit let down by Danny Mac. Well, a lot let down by Danny Macklin. I thought he was doing a good job, and I know he's been. And I know he was stretched and pushed to the edge, but the type of language he used was horrendous, and the club acted correctly and promptly. That type of language has no place in this club. This is a club which is rightly scrutinised more than most because we seek to hold the highest possible standards when it comes to providing a safe space for everyone to watch football and a place to work, regardless of gender, race, and sexual orientation. The spate of attacks on women is horrific. And as men, we have to do all we can to stop this cycle of abuse. I say to anyone listening, you are welcome at our football club, and we continue to speak out against sexist, racist, and homophobic abuse and offer our support. This isn't because we're woke, it's because it's the decent thing to do. Now, I've seen that Danny's put up an apology on social media, and I hope he takes up any support that is offered. My understanding is that all the people connected with this incident no longer work at the club. So it's about time for us to move on. And moving on, we are, because there's a statement up today on the website. This is a Monday, and hopefully it's going to go out on a Tuesday. So, a statement up yesterday. About the recruitment on the website, if you understand, Mick Buckley is staying on for the time being. Chris is carrying on as an MD and hoping to have someone in place by November to take on the role. So it's all a bit messy at the moment. I don't know, Kaz, what's your take on any of it?
Well, to be honest, I didn't know anything about it until I saw something on Twitter the other day. And I looked at the club statement and I saw a few people making comments and I just thought, you know what? I don't even want to know. I just don't want to know. I'm so removed from all that stuff, But yeah, it didn't sound good.
It's not a bad place to be. I think we've all got ourselves into, we've all got so engaged in it recently. It's a good place to have a bit, to stand off a bit. Adam, what's your thoughts?
I mean, I was disappointed, and then I was angry. You know, I do a lot of work in women in sort of STEM and women in games and those kind of things, and so I've seen horrible situations in that space, and I've done a lot to work with organisations to encourage different and diverse people to engage in a space, games, which can be really toxic in some of its places. And so I was, yeah, disappointed, angry, upset, felt let down. So I don't, I think you've said a really good job on it, and I don't want to say any more on it. It upset me. And hopefully we can move forward with it, because the only thing I'd say is we come with our daughters to the games. We appreciate what it means to have safe spaces. And myself, and I've said this to my students, you know, as a middle-aged white man, I can go pretty much anywhere and feel safe because of those factors. And that isn't the case for a lot of people, and I don't want anyone to feel unsafe. And I was disappointed, upset in all of it. So yeah, you've said a good job though, Matt.
Cheers, cheers, Adam. Good point. Niall, what's your thoughts,
I
mate?
totally agree. I think, Matt, you summed it up absolutely brilliantly there. That the way the club acted was the right thing to do. The language used was not acceptable, and that the way we've dealt with it as a club, as a trust, has been admirable, because that's what you need to do in these circumstances, and this is what our club is about. So I fully endorse everything you said there, Matt. And for Danny, like you're saying, I hope he gets the best support he can get, and comes to terms with the language he used, learns from it massively, and also gets the help he needs in other areas as well.
Yeah. All right. Good thoughts, people. And we're all okay with that. The process with how things are going with the recruitment of the new managing director. So Mick's staying on. Chris is staying on as the MD. So, you know,
I think so. I
I
think
mean, that's
so.
taken some time. I'd like to have seen a statement about the recruitment a while ago, but it's out there.
I mean, I think we didn't know what was going on, obviously, and so that's just quite a
Of course.
destabilizing moment. And so to then come, you know, to pause and then reflect and make some stabilizing comments to say we're going to keep things as they are in this place, I think that's fine. You know, I think keep it stable. I don't think there's any need to make any more big changes at this point and just focus on getting someone in who can do the job. I just, yeah, I hope we can do it in a relatively speedy fashion. I know that it took longer than we hoped last time, and that certainly delayed a lot of the stuff we wanted to do. So yeah, but recruitment's hard. So
Oh, good. Well, listen, I think we've got through that bit relatively. Scott, I mean, you know, I just want to get the Don's business out of the way. We've done it because there's football going on,
yeah.
and it's you know, and it's rocking. And I want to start with this thing. Okay, this is the first thing. How crap is Al Hamady? I mean, he's rubbish, isn't he? Let's face it, the guy's pants. I think, and anyone looking at Wimbledon at the moment, any scouts in, I think we just need to, you know, just give his weak points really, because otherwise he could be off. But it's incredible. Kaz, what do you think of the performance on
I
Saturday?
just had such a good time on Saturday. I was so happy. It was what a cracking game. I mean, it was just brilliant. And Nicole and Colette were there, so there was three of the four of us, the coven, because we all sit together, you know.
I've
Lou,
heard of the coven. I've heard
yeah,
of the coven.
we're the coven. Lou wasn't there, but the three of us were, and we were just in heaven. We just were like, I mean, when it was three goals, we were just like, oh, you know, are we going to throw it away? I mean, because they had scored, what, in the first 4 or 5 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And everybody was just sort of like, oh, here we go. But then, you know, it was just all business for us. So it was great. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Can I ask, not Adam, this? It's like, how much pleasure do you get? Because we were 3-1 up, and we should have been singing our heart. We should have been so happy. At 3-1, they've got a man sent off,
I know.
and yet I'm still thinking, how are we going to throw this away?
Yeah, well,
This issue.
It happens a lot, you know. Let's hope that corner has been turned now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Cass. I mean, that has been the curse of AFC Wimbledon for the last two, three seasons, that we are
Yep.
absolutely panicked when we're ahead. We need somehow to get rid of that horrible peace stone around our neck. Kind of like it is absolutely weighing us down all the time because we all go into panic. You know, us going 1-0 up is like panic stations.
Yeah.
We're 2-0 up, complete panic. You know, it's like we've just had such the ability to throw it all away. You know, God, if we get to a position where we can actually hold leads and feel comfortable and the whole ground feels comfortable with it, then we're going places this season.
But don't you think, well, I think anyway, last season was awful. The season before that was awful. And I think, you know, they cleaned house a bit, didn't they? So, you know, the team that we have now isn't carrying all that baggage. I can't remember who it was, but somebody was saying that on some interview. And I really agree with that. I think that, you know, the guys that we have out on the pitch now, they're into it, you know, and they feel like they've got something to prove, but in a good way, not in a like, oh my God, what am I going to do kind of way. So I feel like, you know, this is good. And we're like, what are we, sixth in the league at the moment? I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think also this is Johnny Jackson's team, isn't it? So, like, you know, last season he didn't really have, and Craig Cope, right? So he didn't have the time to develop and get the players in that he wanted to have because of the windows. So this is, I suppose, this is more Craig Cope and Johnny Jackson actually getting the players that they want. He's shaped a team. He's had those windows to get rid of the deadwood.
Yeah.
We had a lot of deadwood. People that had no confidence were just strolling around the pitch like, you know, they weren't even there, like on
To
some
get up a
shopping trip.
paycheck.
Yeah, exactly. And it's depressing. You know, we're Wimbledon fans. What we love more than anything is a person who's going to run the yards, run up and down the pitch, put the effort in and, like, you know, beat their head against the wall if it's needed. You know, that is Reeves. I think Reeves has become the heartbeat that we've been missing for a long time. And you've got that kind of passion back in the team that's been missing. And, you know, well up Johnny Jackson for doing that for Craig Cope. You know, they picked out some bloody good players and it's I'm feeling
I
ridiculously
agree.
missing. I hate it. I feel really worried about this optimism that's going through me here.
Adam Reeves is carrying the side. And I don't know if you saw this at any point on Saturday, if anyone picked it up, but there was a moment where he was actually physically carrying one of their players. He gave one of their players like a piggyback. Did anyone notice this? He gave one of their players like a piggyback for about five steps or whatever it was. This guy jumped on Adam Reeves. That is it. He's carrying. For a time, he was carrying our team and some of their team on his back. He's an immense player. Is there anyone else who stood out on a Saturday, Kaz? Because you were there.
I want to know, what's number 11? What's his name? He's this guy, the Stockport guy on loan, isn't he?
I haven't got my list because I'm at work. I normally have a list of the players.
Number 11.
He's the one with the really, really short shorts.
Not the short shorts.
Yes, and what, 2 weeks ago they played that during halftime. Who wears short
Yeah.
shorts? I was cracking up. But
Do you know why they played that? It's because we played it first on this pod. We were doing a bit about Lewis. We were saying the guy is it's what I mean, it's amazing how short his shorts are.
it looks like he's wearing Depends.
It's inappropriate anyway,
Sorry.
but
But I think he's good, you know. I mean, he has some pace. He really has some pace and he gets stuck in. So it's a shame he's on loan.
He's on loan for the season, isn't he? I
I
think he's
think
out of
so.
contract with Stockport at the end of next season. So this season. So maybe he'll stick around. But you know, players that are doing well, they're just going to get, you know, they might just get picked up somewhere else. And
Yeah.
you know, we always have this thing, don't we, when January comes. I mean, I just close my eyes and hope for February because we just seem to lose some of our best players in January. And I hope he's not one of them because Stockport could recall him and then sell him to, I don't know, hopefully not them.
So I wasn't there obviously on Saturday because there was no trains. It was so so
oh yeah oh,
so annoying. And I didn't bother, you know, I didn't bother pretending I was in Germany and tuning into iFollow, because I kind of thought, oh, forget it, I'm spending so much money on these games and blah blah blah. And of course I regret it now, because so I've only seen the highlights, which is a bit frustrating. But I thought Bugle looked really good again. Ali, obviously, I thought Nerveville looked awesome. But in terms of the thing I wondered for those that were there was that the panic stations obviously continue to sit with us. We get a couple of goals in and we're like, oh, we're going to throw it away. And we've talked about being a different team. And I think and continue to say that I think there's a domino effect. As soon as we start really playing, that we're going to continue on this run. So was after we were ahead, you know, did you notice anything different against the kind of previous home game where we obviously went to 2-2, that where you thought actually we're not trying to do something that put us at risk? Or was it the same play, or was it just having these extra Curry, Reeves?
I felt like they got stuck in, you know. They didn't sit back and rest, you know. They were there like 100% the whole time, I felt. So yeah. I thought they put in a full day, you know.
It was. They didn't stop. I mean, I guess there's going to be a point where we're actually playing against 11 men. I guess that will happen at some point, because obviously the Tranmere game, they were down to 10.
Yeah.
I think it was 54. And the previous week we played at Walsall, didn't we? And they were down to 10. I can't remember if it was the first or second half. So at some point we're going to actually have
But they normally say playing against 10 is harder, don't they? So I actually think we've had two of the hardest games because of that fact. So I think playing against 11 would be easier.
Why do they say that?
I have no idea. They just say that.
I heard them say that this morning on the radio a lot. I've definitely heard that. It's basically because you basically give up trying to attack. So you just completely pack out the penalty area. You play a bank of five, a bank of four, and you just make it really difficult to any space. So while they're never going to score against you, you're basically having to try and pick your way through a maze to get an opportunity to score.
Mm.
So, yeah, so basically they'll usually sit back. And I'm pretty sure that if Tranmere have had 11 on the pitch, you know, who knows what would happen, but they'd probably attacked. And what we're good at is we've got pace.
Yeah.
So, and that's it. So if they're coming at us, then hopefully the pace behind releases some players. I mean, you know,
so I was gonna say the other good thing is I can't make the next Saturday home game either, so it's likely we're going to win again because I'm not there.
Hey, I decided that I would wear my Hawaiian shirt. I don't know if you've seen the amazing Wimbledon Hawaiian shirts, Kaz. They're amazing. Green with flowers, but the Wimbledon badge
really
throughout it. It's yeah, amazing piece of work. And they sell them in a club shop, 40 quid. Apparently, they've got loads left. I don't know.
Oh,
why.
Wow.
And I've made a thing that I would continue to wear mine until we'd won a game. And now I've won. Now I'm kind of thinking maybe I just have to stick with it.
It's like your lucky underwear.
I mean, superstition is just such a weird thing. Where do we get it from? I mean, but you know, now you find yourself on a win, you're like going, what did I do last time that I'm gonna have to do this time so we can we quit. It's ridiculous, as if we have that magic
power. And a couple of the goals were down our end where we sit as well, which is even more annoying. I could have actually seen what happened in real life. Never mind.
Hey, there was three home games ago, I can't remember who we were playing, but you know how we always start like,
oh yeah,
at the other end, and they did it opposite that time, which was really odd. Does anybody know why that was?
I had a feeling they started. That was how it started at the beginning of the season. There must have been some thought about switching it round or playing the other way that would give us some sort of advantage. But it quickly realised it didn't, because I think it was like that for a couple of games, wasn't it? That
oh, maybe. Well, I missed a bit because of COVID and all that stuff. So,
yeah,
I know. Fractured hand, COVID. Hey, you know, let's have some fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that really threw me because I feel like we've always done it the other way, you know, like our goalies at our end, and then it changes in the second half, you know.
Yeah. So I don't know what that was all about, but it was great. Adam, I can't tell you how brilliant it was to watch our side score four goals.
Yeah.
Two of them were ours.
Also, the other really annoying thing about it was that obviously the last game I brought a friend of mine who'd never seen football in real life, wasn't really a football fan. He loved it, wants to come to another game. And then the plan
Nice.
was to bring another friend of mine who lives in London to the Saturday game. And I was like, man, if we'd been there, you'd have seen a 4-1 win. That would have been awesome, you know. So anyway, he's in theory, Toby's going to come in the November game. That's a Saturday. And then Matthew will probably come to another later one. Although the funny thing is, Toby said to me, well, it's going to be getting colder. Isn't that the more authentic approach to English football in the UK? I'm like, well, that's true. You might have to bring a blanket, or at least I might. So, yeah, hopefully the next time I bring someone, we'll win. Because the two, yeah. Because the funny thing is, we talked about this before on the pod, was that the last game I brought Matthew, it was 2-2. He couldn't understand why we were all stressing for the fact that we were going to lose it. And of course, he did. But, never mind. Hopefully in the next couple.
This is great. This is and this listeners, Kaz, this is why we are the same old Wombles, because we can openly talk about bringing blankets to games of football, and we can mention the names of people that no one else knows, and that's how we like to work. I'm loving this guy Matthew's got a great name, and this bloke Toby, no idea who they are, but that's great. And bring a blanket big enough for us
Well,
all.
Toby's already professing to be a Wimbledon fan because he has no other allegiance, so he likes me and he thinks he'll be good. So,
No one knows who he is, Adam. No one knows who.
I
No.
do. He's my best mate, Matt.
Toby, that's
He's
because.
my best mate. I love him. Don't know him very well, if at all, but he's my best mate.
You guys are going to meet him and you're going to have to get to know him. That's what's going to happen. So.
I'm very excited, but believe me, Niall just jumps on someone. I mean, like this guy, Toby probably is Niall's best mate, to be honest with you. That's just the way he operates. Oh dear me. Anyhow, it was amazing. And you know, a joke about Al Hamady, and I really do worry. I worry that January comes around and there's an offer that
No, but
comes
we
in
needed him to
that is
turn. We
too
needed him
good.
to score, and I reckon it's game on now. We can't do anything about what might happen in January,
Yeah.
but he made a couple of moves. The goal where he turned on the spot, I can't remember which one that was, a third or a fourth, was just awesome. You know, and I thought his link up play, again, I've only seen the things, but his link up play with Bugle, his link up play with Nerfville, I just thought it was just starting to happen, and I was just waiting for it to click. So hopefully that confidence now is up there and he's going to just pull it out. So yeah, I mean, but we said this before, if he scores tons of goals and we win all the games up until January, that's a good thing. Like, you know,
Yeah.
that'll do me.
And so
Exactly.
I asked this one because I know that I know I'm not going. So is anyone able to get to the next couple of games on our northern adventure? So
Why
tomorrow we've got
have we got
Tuesday we've got
Harrogate
Harrogate and
on
then we've got
Tuesday night?
Mansfield.
I don't want Harrogate on a Tuesday night. I wanted to go to Harrogate. I really like the idea of Harrogate. It's on a Tuesday night.
I know. We wanted to go last year to Harrogate, and it was sold out.
No, man, that was just messing up.
Yeah, we did goof that up, to be honest with you. We booked all our accommodation and
The
didn't book the
accommodation and the
actual tickets
train.
to the game.
Oh yeah, oh yes, you
Yeah,
booked the accommodation and you forgot to book the game.
yeah,
They
we didn't
didn't
book it.
buy the tickets for the match. So I forgot about
Yeah, yeah.
I
Thanks for
don't
reminding.
go to night games because it just takes me forever to get home. So weekday games just are not happening for me, and I very rarely go to away games.
We're
I'm
the same,
terrible.
Kaz. We do one or two away games, and then we like to go, you know, stay over, you know,
Yeah.
experience the culture of the bars, the local place.
I'll do the yeah. I think I'm going to do the Accrington Stanley Tuesday night. It'll just be a rush job to get there and back. But I kind of don't want to. Otherwise, I've got to wait until November, and that's just going to do my head in.
So then, what do we think? How do we think we're going to do? Because I'm worried now. We've discovered some home form. I'm hoping it doesn't switch over. And Harrogate, obviously, they seem to be on a bit of a roll. Did anyone see their result on the weekend?
I think they beat somebody.
They beat them. But if you do want to have a laugh, and I think it's on the Twitter feed or whatever it is, you need to see the Harrogate winning goal against the franchise.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's an absolute hoot. I think it was literally their player, their goalie hoofed it up. It seemed to bounce off their defender onto their goalie, onto the Harrogate attacker, and just like trickle into the net from about 12 yards, whatever it is. So if you want, you know, if you want to see, if you want a bit of a laugh, that was quite a comedic goal there.
I was very happy with the result, and I'm very happy with the fact that they're below us in the table.
I know.
Long may that continue.
I just saw the average home attendances for the league. So not only are we sixth in the actual league, we're sixth in the attendance league as well.
Oh, that's good.
And they're below us. So our average is just under 8,000, I believe.
Yeah, it was 7-something on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't.
And with no train, I mean, that was a good thing, because when I looked at that, I was like, well, with no trains, there's three of us who couldn't come. Imagine all the others, you know, we'd have packed that out, I reckon, if there was trains.
It's Tranmere Rovers, you know, it's not like a massive draw.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I look at that and I think that is phenomenal. And when you look at that average attendances, you've got to remember that actually we can't get much more than 8,000. I mean, that. What I think is more interesting would be to look at the capacity of the stadium full, because we must be like pretty much what's 90%.
Yeah, it looks that way. I mean, when I'm there, it looks, you know, it almost always looks really full, you know. And I also really love the fact that you see so many young kids wearing Wimbledon shirts and going with their parents. And, you know, that's just brilliant. That's, you know, I mean, for years, you know, back in the Wiesa days and back at Selhurst and all that, you know, that was rare. You know, you'd never see kids walking around in Wimbledon shirts in Wimbledon, would you? And not that I hang out in Wimbledon very much these days, but, you know, when I have been there, you see that. And you see these kids at games, you know, little kids like 5 years old, 7 years old, and they're into it, you know, and they have like the player's name on the back of their shirt. And
it is phenomenal.
So cool.
It's phenomenal. So, yeah. So Bradford, they've got the highest average attendance, which is about 17,000. I believe that their ticket, I mean, they do a lot of great community work and their tickets are very cheap, I understand. Notts County is 10,000, then it's Wrexham, Swindon, Stockport, then us, and other sides are 11th. So, you know, and Harrogate are bottom. Their average attendance is just over 2,000.
Oh, wow.
They've got a small stadium. And I just wonder what it's going to be like in Harrogate tomorrow night or tonight when the podcast goes out. I think we'll probably take. I wouldn't be surprised if we take about 400 odd. It's going to be noisy. We'll be making a lot of noise.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
We'll come away with 3 points. But you're right, Kaz. I mean, it is great. We've got this real variety of people coming to the club now, and the more that we can reach out, the more that we can bring people in, the better. And you can just see it, couldn't you? Like when we were at King's Meadow, what were we getting? 4.5. And now it's like 7.5 in League Two against, not as you said, against like Tranmere, and you know, Accrington Stanley on a Tuesday night. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a fairly decent turnout for that. Maybe not from the away fans, because that is a way to come on a Tuesday down from Accrington. But it's looking good, and I'm hopeful. What do we reckon tomorrow night?
I think we're on a roll. I'm going to continue my domino effect metaphor that we're just going to keep going, and I think it's going to happen. Like, why not? You know, why not?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to think positive.
It doesn't hurt to think positive, Niall.
Football gods speak to me, and they tell me you cannot predict anything involving my club. I will predict anything involving Other clubs, my club, no, the football gods will try and badly on me if I say anything. I just can't, man. I can't. I find it just the hardest thing. It's just like a curse. I just can't do it.
Just make sure you wear your lucky pants.
Exactly.
Yeah, Charlie's like, I have no idea what those ones are nowadays.
There is one of the games that's been switched to iFollow as well, isn't it? That you can iFollow UK coming up. So there is options for more people to watch, which is good. I can't remember which one it is, but I don't think it's tomorrow.
Right. And we've got quite a few fans all over the world as well, which is pretty cool, you know?
Yeah. And there's one on this podcast.
I think that he's saying London. So the accent clearly not London.
Kaz, your accent. I'm finding it hard to place. It's somewhere south. Is it Kent sort of thing? Where have you, Kaz? How did you get involved in supporting the Dons? I must ask.
Okay, this is a weird story. So, my son was into football. You know, as a child.
Hold on, Kaz, wait 1 minute. All our listeners, please sit back in your chairs. Don't get a nice cup of hot cocoa. Kaz is about to begin her tale of how she became a dog.
Well, it was back in the 90s when you guys were still at Selhurst. And my son was into football. So they had football in the community. And Wimbledon at that time had a really good scheme for the kids. It was one of the best in the country, actually. So he would go to all the football in the community things, you know, like during half term and term break and summers and all that stuff. And they used to give him free tickets. So we started going. And at that time, I know this is really bad to say, but, you know, I was American and didn't know any better. So I was a Man United fan, you know, it was just like Beckham and Ryan Giggs and, you know, the Neville brothers, the whole nine yards. I loved them. I thought they were brilliant. But we started going to see Wimbledon. And the day that David Beckham scored from the halfway line is the day that I committed myself to Wimbledon. That was when, because, I mean, it was just like, I can't even explain it. I wasn't there. I think I heard it on the radio. I think my husband at the time was there with my son. And I just was gutted. I just thought, oh, you know, as much as I love Man United, I just felt so bad for the Wombles. I just thought, oh, this is so not fair. And so that's when I became a Wimbledon fan. And then we bought season tickets and just never looked back.
I love it. David Beckham turned me to a Wimbledon fan. That is just, that's incredible.
I know. And now I live in East Ham, right down the street from where Upton Park used to be. So, yeah. And I have lots of Hammers friends as well. But they all respect me because everybody respects Wimbledon. You know, everybody respects our club. So, yeah. And then I got involved in WISA, you know, and all that stuff. And then all the bad stuff happened. But, you know, that was kind of a magical time. And, you know, the Coven, we've talked about that a lot over the years, you know, how it's not that we miss those times because they really were horrible. You know, the black balloons and the signs and turning our backs during the game and, you know, all the protest stuff. But there was a lot of good guerrilla marketing going on, you know, and we had some clever people that did some really clever things.
God, if anybody had ever written an alternative match day program at that time, my God, if only I knew the editor of that, gosh. Was that a plug? Did I plug? Did I mention
every single time you're on, Niall, every single time, mate. I don't know.
I have to say, Matt and Adam were both connected and involved in Yellow and Blue, obviously. And, you know,
yeah.
We all love going back to the Farley afterwards. And
the Farley. Oh, I used to love going to the Farley.
Exactly. With all the whistle lot, you know, I always think of, you know, Yellow and Blue was very much, you know, in bed with whistle a lot for that whole thing. We were like working hand in hand together all the way through that process. You know, it's like it was, I look back on it and weirdly we'd love, kind of like love the time. It was shit for a lot of reasons, but it was the making of Wimbledon.
It was, and there was a lot of camaraderie, you know, people worked together and it was a special time. And I remember having meetings with Jonesy and Lee Willett, and, you know, we went to the Phoenix and had this, like, I remember Chris got this big map out. It was when we were trying to figure out where the hell we were going to get a ground, and he got this map out and he was just like, all right, here's Southwest London. What are we looking at here? No. And it was magic, it was magic. And yeah, and I've made lifelong friends from those experiences, And I was so a couple of weeks ago, the home game before this one, I walked in and I saw the gates. And I didn't know that I knew that somebody had had them and that they were restoring them, but I never expected to see them live in front of my face in the ground. I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. That just made me so happy. So happy.
Yeah, the Wombleton I Die Gates, absolutely. I mean, it's a brilliant that that's a, so that's another issue from Wimbledon in sporting history, Wish. But that is brilliant to have that back. And I think this is one of the things because of what Weal went through, and I think this is where there is some sort of maybe some type of separation between the fans at some point, is we really went through a struggle. Now when you go to the ground, you see people So, and I don't know if there's I mean, you're always biased by your club, but it just doesn't feel like you can go to another club and know as many fans, as many people by first name, which is incredible. That's just a wonderful thing. And I mean, yeah, it is awful we've gone through, and it's been a real struggle to get to where we are now. And but we had an amazing time. For a lot of us of our age saw some, saw us beat all those big sides, back in the day. And for us earlier, win the FA Cup, and then that whole incident happened. And then to go through the whole process again from non-league, two times out of non-league, back into the Football League has been incredible. But the last few seasons, I think for anyone who's joined us in the last 10 years or so, it's not been so great. Whereas
No.
we all had a struggle, a real, something to fight against and fight for, which was incredible. And we have all made really good friends, and that created a really amazing community.
Yeah, I think so. And the whole D-lag, that's amazing.
Yeah, the D-Lag stuff is great. I think, again, I mean, I know we talked about this a little bit before, but again, bringing people who have no real connection, they see and feel the magic out of what Wimbledon has come from. And sometimes some of that actually, even for some of the kids growing up who maybe were you're a Wimbledon fan from day zero, don't necessarily feel that magic because they've just been in it. And so I think sometimes you want to remind some of those fans that yes, it might have been a bit difficult, but we are different and that magic exists and that community exists. And I think you're right, Matthew. I don't think other clubs, that people do know as many people or could get to know as many people and could experience the kind of things that we do because of where we've come from twice, in different ways. So I think we mustn't lose that magic. And I think it's to remind our different fans of different generations, depending on how they came into the club, that there is something different about Wimbledon and that magic matters. And sometimes you don't see it when you're so close, isn't it? When you've grown up and you're just like, Dad told me to be a Wimbledon fan or whatever, Mum told me to be a Wimbledon fan. You don't always feel the magic.
This is, I think, what is so important about some of the artwork and decoration of the stadium. Because I think that is, again, another little way of making sure that we realise where we've come from and what our journey has been. Which is what I love. I mean, the Wombletaw I Die gates, I still think they need to do the bottom and the top because they look a bit ropey, right, on the how they've been cleaned up. But that, for me, I'd probably put more central because it needs to be, like, I mean, the mosaic, fantastic. And having all that other kind of memorabilia is really so important because it's about that journey. I'd like to see another picture of the big black balloons picture, which I think was for me, because that's like, this is what we're about. It's like, we must ever forget where we've come from and the pain that we've been through, because, and the fact that we're fan owned. I mean, I still, every time I go into the ground, and I've said this to Matt, and I've said this about him many times, there is moments where you have to just stop and go, every blade of grass, every seat, every brick belongs to the fans and the journey we've been. No other club can have that story. That is unique. It's taken an awful lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get to that point. And you can just have that inner pride of going, this doesn't belong to anyone else. There's no kind of megalomaniac behind it. Not, this is Wimbledon.
It's a
This is
football
us.
love story.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Kaz.
Yeah, that is so right.
I know.
Sorry, Adam.
I was going to say just to end on that bit, if you went and talked to to other Wimbledon fans or whatever who weren't there, and told them we spent the game facing the wrong direction, we spent another game outside of the stadium whilst it was being played. That kind of shows what was going on there, we can't put ourselves in that position, but if you say to someone who's never experienced that, to say, imagine you had to spend the whole game facing the wrong way, you didn't watch the game, imagine you had to stand outside whilst the game was being played because there was real trouble, that I think typifies how big a deal it was for us to kind of stand up for what was right for Wimbledon, and it's been fantastic.
I remember the whole sitting in the meeting room at Selhurst with a bunch of WISA people and Charles Koppel. And he was just so arrogant and so self-satisfied. And I mean, just like lied through his teeth. Oh, God, I hated him so much.
Yeah, I believe there was a song that sort of like summed it up.
There might have been. Keep quick, move on.
Anyhow, so we did this, and then we created our own side. So now we've got this point of the show where we can do the CCL team. Now, I think we've all had this agreement that none of us can actually remember the CCL. We can remember the 80s team very well, but
remember the CCL team.
Here is the game we're playing. I've got a list here of goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, attackers. You can have, it's like counting down, one from the top, one keeper, two defenders, and two midfielders, attackers. You get to choose. And I will rotate who gets to choose. So, as our guest, Kaz,
you get
to choose who would you have as your best CCL goalkeeper, and I've got a list. I've got some names for you here. I've got four names.
All right.
We've got Ray Merry, Glyn Schimmel. I remember him. Andy Bell or Andy Little. Who would you have in your? Who would be your number one?
The only name I recognize is Glyn. To be honest, okay. I'm terrible with names. I mean, I can name a lot of the players from back in the Wimbledon FC days, but even now, it's just like, I don't know. I was like, number 11, the guy with the short pants.
Fear not, you're on the right podcast for this kind of stuff.
Well, welcome to our world, Kaz. That's what we're like all the time.
I'm terrible that way. I really am. I don't know. So, yeah, we'll go with Glenn for that because I don't know what I'm talking about. So,
Adam, who are you going to go for? You've got Ray Merry, Andy Bell, or Andy Little.
Andy Little and CCL. Are you sure?
This is the list that Mark gave me. So I'm not taking any responsibility for it as usual.
Right. I don't know who any of those people are. So I'm going to say Andy Bell. Hopefully he was good.
I know all of these. Andy Little definitely for me.
Of course you do, Niall. Flipping egg.
Well, look, my book. On the intro page is my favourite
player. Right, okay, we need to move on before Mark.
Peter Cooper's favourite player was by your niece's favourite player was Andy Little.
Okay, all right then. Well, I'm going to go with Ray Merry, who are outstanding. Andy Little's now the goalkeeping coach at Sutton. Did you know?
Oh, well, that brings it down because he's pally with Jason Goodliffe.
Yeah. So, now it's defenders time. So, Adam.
Yeah.
You get to choose two from this list.
Okay.
Keith Ward, Stephen Johnston, Tony Reddings, Dave Trouse, Danny Roberts, Danny Oakins, who's now the boss of Glee, by the way, in the South East League, Matt Everard, Anthony Howard, Steve Butler, and Dave Sargent.
Oh, okay. I like Butler and I liked Ward. So I have two of those two, please.
Me, can I go next, Matt?
and Nye, do you know what? It would make sense for you to go next, wouldn't it? Kaz, who would you choose? So you've got did you say Ward, by the way?
Yeah, Ward and Butler, please.
Ward and Butler. So you've got Siv
You've got
Johnson.
still got one of my favourite players of all time at Swimbledon is amongst this remaining list, and Matt knows it.
I know. You've got Siv Johnson, Tony Reddings, David Charles, Danny Roberts, Danny Elkins, Matt Everard, Anthony Howard, or Dave Sargent. So it's up to you, Kaz. Who would you have in your side?
So Matt Everard is a name I recognize. So that one. And then I guess Danny Roberts. I'm just like shooting from the hip here because I just
Matt Everard.
No, who would you have, mate? Who would you have?
Matt
Who's
Everard
your
played 78 games or something like that, 78 games for us, and never lost.
Well, who are you gonna have now? Because Matt Everard's gone. Kaz knew that and that's why she chose him.
Well, I just
So
recognize the name.
yeah.
Who's left, Matt?
You've got Siv Johnson, the
I'll
only
choose Sim. I
player
like
who
Sim.
is,
He's my mate.
yeah, Siv Johnson is the only player who came through trials
Yeah, he scored a
and
blinding
to actually play
25
for us.
yards.
Oh,
He's
through the trials on Wimbledon Common trials? Jumpers for goalpost trials.
That was the one. And then
I
you've
love
got
that.
Dave Charles, Danny Elkins, Anthony Howard, or Dave Sargent.
If I'm being sensible, I'd go with Anthony Howard because he's actually a very, very good defender, along with Sim Johnston, even though Sim Johnston wasn't a very good player. But I like a good brawler, so I might go with Danny Elkins, famous for hitting people for no reason whatsoever.
Okay, I'm loving it. All right, last shout. And Niall, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go first this time.
We on strikers now? Are you letting Niall go first? Ugh.
Well, on strikers, midfielders, yeah, I am going to let him go first. You went first last time, Adam. So we've got Gareth Graham, Kevin Cooper, Joe Sheeran, Lee Sidwell, Shane Small-King, Gavin Bulger,
Oh, now we're talking.
Richard Butler, Andy Sullivan, or Shane Smeltz.
Oh my God, that is a really good selection. It's hard not to choose Joe Sheeran and Kevin Cooper, but Shane Smeltz did play in the World Cup, which is probably and scored for New Zealand. So it's probably difficult not to pick him. And I
Oh, that's
actually really
right.
like little butts, Richard Butler. But yeah, I'll go with that. I'll go with Richard Butler and Shane Smeltz.
Okay,
Good call.
Richard Butler. Yeah, it is a good call. And I'm writing these in. Adam, it would be fair for you to go next, but Kaz, who
Because I recognize names.
you've got yeah. This is how I lose on the horses. You've got Gareth Graham, Kevin Cooper, Joe Sheeran, Lee Sidwell, Shane Small-King, Gavin Bulger, and Andy Sullivan.
Joe Sheeran. Whoa.
Oh.
Gotta be. And Kevin Cooper.
Okay, you've gone for Joe Sheeran and Kevin Cooper
Yeah, I had to.
and Adam.
Yeah, obviously all the ones I wanted have been taken. That's fine. I would have gone for Butler and Sheeran, but there we go. Never mind. Okay, who have I got left?
Gareth Graham, Lee Sidwell, Shane Small-King, Gavin Bulger, and Andy Sullivan.
Sullivan and Sidwell, please.
Sullivan and Sidwell.
I do love Sully. He had
Yeah.
that one trick that we all loved. And that was it.
Well,
He's a great player.
this is our final side. So, Niall's team is Andy Little, Siv Johnson, Danny Elkins, Richard Butler, Shane Smeltz. Could be an interesting night out. Adam, you've got Andy Bell, Butler, Ward, Andy Sullivan, and Lee Sidwell. And Kaz, I think you've got the winning team here. Although I'm not sure about your defenders.
Yeah, where's
because
Ben
you're
Thatcher
picking
when you need
names.
him?
Glenn Schimmel, Joe Sheeran, Kevin Cooper, Matt Everard, and Danny Roberts. Now, that is a good team. Awesome. That is great. Thank you all so much. It's awesome to go back and have a look at these times. They were great times.
I'm going to run the machine learning on that, and it'll be 2045 by the time it works out who won this tournament. So just keep posted.
Everyone, thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for Adam and Niall joining, and our special guest Kaz. You can check out our shows, which sound amazing. And that's it. My name's Matt Cooper. Good night. No one doubts the way you feel. No, your passion's very real. I must say we're all impressed the way the fans approach this test. The days have gone with football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Davis isn't just a game, and tough decisions must be made.